Well, hello and welcome to Local Matters. Today we're talking about education matters, and we have a special guest, the Dean of the College of Education at Tennessee Tech University, Lisa Zagomny. And Lisa, welcome back. We've talked a little bit before.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, we're excited about having you on board and having you back to talk about some of the educational issues in the, not just the Upper Cumberland, but the great state of Tennessee and the United States as we spend this half hour together. But first, tell our listeners a little bit about your background and how you got to Tennessee Tech, where you grew up, things like that.
Okay. I'm from Michigan originally. I moved to Cookeville, Tennessee in 1993 and have been working at Tech since the late 90s. I started out in the Department of Art, adjuncting art classes. Then I finished up my terminal degree at the University of Tennessee, Knoxville, in cultural studies and education, and ended up becoming a professor in the Department of Curriculum and Instructions. I was the social foundations professor, if you will. I was the new Harvey Neufelt at the time. Not that I can fill those shoes, but it was an honor to work with him. So I've been around for a while and just worked my way up the ranks in terms of faculty and ended up being the director of our PhD program in exceptional learning. And from that, ended up being associate dean in the College of Ed, which was primarily over graduate programs, and ended up being dean. I didn't really have aspirations for becoming an administrator. Other people saw, I guess, strengths in me that mm-hmm. lent themselves to administrative work. It's sort of been happenstance. But
and now you lead the entire college.
I do, but I have a great team, and the College of Ed is made up of really hardworking staff and faculty, and I think we work really well together. So there's a cohesion there that is helping us move forward in really positive ways.
Well, and you do have a great team, and you folks have influenced every county in the Upper Cumberland area, not just with great teachers, but with administrators and with folks who, even though they no longer teach, they've chosen other things to do in the region, too. Well, how large is the college today, and what kind of degree offerings can students pursue?
Oh, my gosh. We're a monster. We have three departments. We have exercise science, we have counseling and psychology, and we have curriculum and instruction. We have a total of about 80 faculty members and 30 staff members to keep this
wow.
machine operating.
Yeah.
Just our Office of Teacher Education alone, because we offer every program that you can in the state of Tennessee, with one exception, and that's business education. I don't know the reason why we don't offer that. And we will be the first in the state to offer computer science education. So we're looking forward to that. Hopefully by the end of May, we should hear back from the State Department. But you can get a bachelor's degree in psychology. You can get a bachelor's degree in a whole handful of concentrations in exercise science. And then in curriculum and instruction, we have all of the licensure paths. So if you want to be an elementary teacher, if you want to be a middle school teacher, a high school teacher, we also have ESL, special education. We have those high needs endorsements right now mm-hmm. that the schools need so badly. But we also have the largest graduate program at the university. So that across our three departments, we have masters and educational specialists in all three departments. And then we also have the PhD in exceptional learning in curriculum and instruction that has four different concentrations. But rolling out fall of 2020, we will have a new PhD in counseling and supervision.
And that's going to be exciting for the Upper Cumberland in addition to the rest of the state of Tennessee. And how many students total today, approximately?
Oh, my gosh. You know, I don't have that number off the top of my head, which you would think I would. I'm going to guess 1,200 in the college.
I would think so, at least, yeah.
Across those three.
Yeah, it is a complex organization, no question.
To say the least.
And there have been many teachers out there that can talk about their great experiences all the way back to the time when Edel Hearn was dean of the college, probably, or maybe even some before that.
Most certainly.
Well, it's a great great place to be, and as you say, one of the largest colleges, the largest graduate college at the university. But you've got something going now that's a new initiative, sort of focused on students at the high school level and the middle school level that you want them to get excited about a career in teacher education. So tell us a little bit about Teachers Rock.
I'd be happy to. We are rolling out this new initiative that we're calling Teachers Rock. And there are four parts to this, but let me give you a little bit of background on why we're doing this. This isn't just a Tennessee phenomenon. Nationwide, as you and probably most of your listeners know, we're facing a teacher shortage. It's projected that by 2025, we will be short over 200,000 teachers across the nation. We're seeing a similar pattern in Tennessee. In November, the Tennessee Organization of School Superintendents, otherwise known as TOS, they put out a survey for all of the directors of schools in the state, and they had 100% response rate, which is a little unusual, so it sort of speaks to the importance of the matter. 79 districts began the school year with unfilled teaching positions.
Wow.
That's across the state.
Wow.
71 of those districts in November still had unfilled teaching positions, with 630 total vacancies. The areas with the highest number of vacancies included special education, elementary education, and mathematics. I think the elementary education piece was sort of surprising because historically we've had plenty of elementary education teachers. So for this to be part of the shortage is a little surprising. Then specific to the Upper Cumberland districts, 10 districts began the school year with unfilled teaching positions, and 9 in November still had unfilled positions, with a total of 35 vacancies reported.
Wow.
So this is something that's really impacting our school districts in the Upper Cumberland and across the state. So, and in the Upper Cumberland, those areas with the highest number of vacancies were, again, elementary education, K-3, and elementary education 4-8, as well as mathematics. So we're trying to figure out, well, what can we do to help? So on January 8th, we hosted the College of Education and the Office of Teacher Education hosted the 21 directors of the Upper Cumberland schools. And that's a few more than really the strict Upper Cumberland area. But 21 directors of schools, we hosted them all day for their director study council to find out what we could do to best meet their needs. Because they're all a little different. They all have slightly different needs. But what can we do with all of the resources we have help to fill this gap? So through conversations, we decided on this four-strand approach to see what we can do to help fill those positions. So one of the things that we're doing is really offering expedited pathways for add-on endorsements. So if you are a practicing teacher, we've simplified the steps to add on an endorsement, particularly those high needs areas. So English as a second language, middle school science, and special education. So we're collaborating with our district partners to figure out those ways that they can help add on those endorsements for their teachers.
And so you can take a successful teacher, somebody that already knows what they're doing a little bit, and move them into a new field with those endorsements.
Yes, that's it exactly. We want to encourage strong teachers to add those additional endorsements to help their schools where those needs are. So, exactly.
That's great.
Another opportunity that we're working on, we call them EPSOs. It's an early post-secondary opportunity. And this is where we work with those students in the high schools on dual enrollment and dual credit. And this way, the teachers in their classroom can recognize and encourage the best and brightest students to pursue those education pathways. And this is really a way for those students to engage and become confident in choosing teaching as a profession. We've also partnered with over 20 schools across the state to visit TAP classrooms. And TAP is Teaching as a Profession. So most schools have that. Most high schools have those. And we're trying to work with those schools to not only go out and visit with those classrooms at their schools, but also to get them onto Tech's campus to get them excited about that college experience.
Yeah. Well, that's great that you, anytime we can get them on campus, that's a good thing for tech and for potentially for the student in their career.
Well, in that way, it really helps to build their knowledge and skills related to those state standards that they have to meet to become a teacher. So that's not something that's foreign to them when they're coming into the program as first-year students. Another strand of this Teachers Rock initiative are collaborative residency opportunities. And you may have heard about some other universities in the state rolling out these residency opportunities where you identify teacher assistants. That's a really great pool of possible future teachers. So if we can help the district to identify those assistants and collaborate on financial and educational support to help those teacher assistants reach those goals.
So these folks may not have had training in a traditional teacher or education kind of pathway, but they can develop that over time.
They sure can, because these are people who are already in those classrooms, working with teachers, so the teachers can see who's strong, who would be really great at this. So helping the school districts to find those folks, but also partnering with the districts for opportunities for traditional candidates who might be in their third or fourth year of their program. If we could figure out some way to have a paid residency more along the lines of an internship, a more formalized arrangement, that would really help to draw people into the profession and keep them there because they would know that that commitment's there on the front end. The initiative the strand of this initiative that we're most excited about are the teachers as recruiters. And I know we're on radio, so people can't see this cool sticker, but it talks about the Teachers Rock initiative, and then there's the sticker on one side so that we can share this out with our practicing teachers in the schools and invite these teachers to serve as recruiters. They can be a positive influence on those secondary students. These teachers know the students in their classroom that would be ideal as teachers. So if those teachers can identify those students in the classroom, and really part of that is to also change the narrative, right? To make it a really positive narrative around the profession of teaching.
Well, this is Local Matters. We are talking to Lisa Zagumny, the Dean of the College of Education at Tennessee Tech University. And we are going to take a very quick break and we'll be right back.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Well, welcome back to Local Matters. We're talking to Lisa Zagumny from the College of Ed at Tennessee Tech University. Lisa, you were talking about the Teachers Rock initiative, and my mother was a teacher and graduated from the University of Illinois in 1925. That was a different kind of curriculum than the teachers today see. So talk a little bit about some of the big parts of a curriculum that a teacher would experience today.
Okay. One of the things that I guess has really just grown over the years are the expectations from the State Department and the State Board. We have an awful lot of support and help from those bodies, and they have very rigorous standards that we have to meet as an educator preparation program, but also in preparing our students to meet those standards. And our students at the university that are in the Ed Prep program, we refer to them as candidates. So oftentimes you'll hear teacher candidates or candidates rather than students. The student language, that's for the P-12 students. Mm-hmm. But we have a very rigorous set of standards that we need to meet for every discipline. So for every specific discipline, and then within that specific grade ranges. And these are something that do not stay still for very long. So the State Department and the State Board, they're very involved, and they get our professors involved and the P-12 teachers involved in order to make updates and changes to those standards. For example, I believe it was last weekend that the group that's working on updating the math standards were meeting across the state to revise and review and revise those standards as they see needed based on current research. So these aren't things that are just made up by somebody out there. They're very research-driven, research-based. You hear a lot right now on the science of reading. That's not anything new. It's part of that moniker to get the word out about it. Yeah. But again, our state standards are based on that science for reading and all the other disciplines. So it's quite a rigorous expectation, and not many other disciplines have something like that. If you're, I guess, nursing, the medical profession, right? Yeah, they have a similar rigor to their standards, but it's a really different way of thinking about curriculum and pedagogy and course delivery.
Well, cool. And students get a chance to see a pretty wide range of technology in the classroom as part of the experience too, don't they?
They sure do. That is a feather in our cap. We have the Vision Lab, thanks to Dr. Jason Beach. And this is a virtual reality technology. He's filmed a live classroom and turned that into a virtual classroom so that our teacher candidates can experience classroom management. Wow. And students before they ever step foot in a real classroom to really help prepare them what to expect.
And that's sort of exciting. And I bet it is quite different for an elementary school teacher candidate than it might be for a middle school or a high school candidate.
Most certainly. And that's what's really neat about the Vision Lab is you can adjust it so that it has different, it addresses different grade levels, but also different disciplines. So it's a really neat experience. Dr. Beach has done wonders with that Vision Lab and helping to better prepare our candidates.
And I know you work with the county school systems, someone like Sam Brooks at the Putnam County system on online learning. Students at Tennessee Tech take online learning, but how does that affect the teacher candidate and sort of the career that they're going into?
Good question. Part of our preparation of those candidates, some of the classes they're taking are online.
Sure.
So they understand what it means to be an online student. So I think that we all know that research shows the best way to learn something is to teach it. So if you're an online student, you're going to be able to understand where your students are coming from. But then we also teach you the pedagogical approaches to teaching online.
Yeah.
So that it's not a surprise. It's not something that you're left to figure out on your own.
But they're going to experience it in just about any county school system or certainly any homeschool or private school system they go into, aren't they?
Most certainly.
Yeah, it's a big difference from when I went through elementary and middle and high school. So that's just part of our, I guess, the blessing of the technology that we have today. Well, you mentioned the Tennessee Organization of School Superintendents, the TOS group. Certainly we have a branch of that in the Upper Cumberland with our school directors, and your college works closely with the school directors, don't they?
We do. They have a director study council meeting once a month, and we always have representation there because we want to make sure that we're there to know what their needs are and how we can help. And we just need to have, and we do have, really close communication with those directors of schools and principals, because we're placing our candidates out in their schools. They're hiring our graduates. Just a side note, more districts in the state of Tennessee hire our teacher graduates than any other university and prep program across the state.
Isn't that amazing?
It is. So we need to make sure that we have really close working relationships with all of those school districts.
And as part of those close relationships you've got, your college reaches out to just about every, certainly every community in the Upper Cumberland, but communities all across the state too. So talk a little bit about how you're involved in communities with practicums and with in-service training and other things that you do on a yearly or a monthly basis.
Happy to. We have agreements, memorandums of understanding with 52 districts in the state of Tennessee. And again, it's our faculty members going out to those schools, working with teachers. It's our faculty members hosting teachers on campus for different professional development opportunities. It's our faculty members collaborating with teachers in the schools on different initiatives. So our folks, again, have a really close working relationship with people in the schools. We have those formalized arrangements, but it's not unusual for a principal or a director to pick up the phone and call one of our people, or to get on the calendar and schedule an appointment to talk about, you know, something good, bad, otherwise. And that's how we like it. We want people to feel free to reach out to us.
Want that very comfortable working relationship with them.
Most certainly. And I think through our Upper Cumberland Directors of Schools, that study council, I think that's just one of the ways that we maintain that strong working relationship.
And that's a great thing about the Upper Cumberland is most of those school directors went to Tennessee Tech, but they certainly have been on in committees with folks at Tennessee Tech, and they're very comfortable in calling someone and just saying, tell me about this, or tell me how to work through this problem.
Most certainly. And they all know our director, our the Office of Teacher Education, Amy Brown, is quick to their lips when they need some help.
Amy's a great personality for that kind of a job. Well, let's talk for a moment. Many of the listeners are parents who have students in K-12 somewhere, or maybe thinking about going on into college and majoring in education, or they may be a grandparent in one of those roles. What kind of advice would you give parents about students today and about the school environment and about the exciting career opportunities?
I would tell them if they have a child or a grandchild that they think would make a great teacher, please encourage them to follow that passion. It is a passion, but there's an awful lot of formal education that needs to happen in order to be a really well-prepared teacher. But you know if somebody's going to be a good teacher or not. So if you've been able to identify somebody in your family or friends, encourage them to do so. There's no more rewarding profession. And without the profession of teaching, we wouldn't have any other professions. So it's sort of foundational to the economic development of the community.
It really is.
Lifelong learning, that passion or being driven to love what you do.
And there's pretty good job security. There are teachers in every county in the state and every state in the nation. So there are plenty of potential jobs out there.
Most certainly. If you want job security, but also a really great way to make a difference in your community, you can change lives being a teacher. And remember, schools are the largest employers in the majority of these communities. So it's just you have opportunities and you can transfer those skills over, right? If there's a need to move, you can carry that with you. So I think it's a great profession, as are the counseling and psychology professions and exercise science. Exercise science is a rapidly growing field.
And you can go into physical therapy and into there are a lot of health-related things in the coming out of exercise science.
Sure are. Occupational therapy, physical therapy, and counseling and psychology is also a rapidly growing
yes.
program. And with that new PhD program with a focus on mental health, that's really that has the potential to really make a difference in some communities. So I would strongly encourage anybody who's interested in those human services professions to follow their passion at Tennessee Tech and the College of Ed.
Well, that's great. We have been talking to Lisa Zagumny, the Dean of the College of Education at Tennessee Tech University. Lisa, it's been great to have you on the program, and thanks for all that you're doing as a leader out at Tech.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.